Yeah, when we gather together, one of the things we want to do is we want to be aware of God's presence. As a church, that's what we gather around, is His presence, the living God who is not distant but is near. And so this morning, before we sit down, we open up the Word of God. We prayed earlier just in first service for just lower back pain. I had some back pain this morning, and my back's feeling great. We prayed for a gentleman on Tuesday, first Tuesday prayer, and man, he said that, man, his back got super hot while they were praying for him, and then he walked out. He texted us later and said, man, I got no pain in my low back. And so here's what I want to do. If you've got some low back pain this morning, would you just raise your hand, and we just want to pray over you, so just raise your hand up high. Keep it up if you can. Keep it up high. And if you see somebody beside you, if they're right beside you, just put your hand up on their shoulder. Nothing weird, just put your hand on your shoulder. That's really biblical, actually. So if you're standing here, just raise up your hand if you got lower back pain. We're just going to release the peace of God. So Lord, right now, I just thank you that you're a God who desires wholeness in every sense of the word, that you came to restore everything. Our relationship with the Father, man, first and foremost, but through your stripes, we were healed. We're healed. Are healed. Will be healed. And so, Lord, we just right now, as you've instructed us to release your peace upon all these, the hands that are raised, the people that are having some low back pain. And just right now, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to engage with them and to meet them right now, that you would do the healing work that you did just as you did through Jesus. And so we just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Lower backs, be healed in Jesus' name. My lower back, be healed in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we just come into alignment with heaven's cry today. Lord, I thank you for this community. Lord, I thank you for every person that is in this room, the story that they're walking through, the chapter of life they're in, whether it's a great season or whether it's a chapter they want to be done today. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here in this midst, that you would encourage us, that you, Holy Spirit, would give us a spirit of unity as a body of believers with one mind set on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So Holy Spirit, would you just continue to speak today? As we open up the word that you inspired, and would you help us to receive all that you have for us today, Father? Truth, wisdom, revelation, but also healing in every way. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, as you're sitting down, give somebody a fist bump beside you. Say, what's up? Good to have you here at Christ Fellowship. Some people are hugging. I said, give a fist bump, Carla. Come on now, Carla. I'm just giving you a hard time there. It is good to be with y'all. Anybody excited to be here today? Anybody besides me? Man, I am so jacked to be here today. Like, I am so, so excited. And we are glad that you're here. As I said earlier, if you're a guest, man, we want to welcome you. We are honored that you're here with us. And I want to tell you, we strive to be a simple church. And we are a church that gathers around the presence of the living God, as I said earlier. This is what the church has been and is continuing to be for centuries, gathering around the presence of God, not around a pastor. Can we just say amen to that? Like, not around a personality or not around a great band, which we have in a phenomenal, talented band, but we don't gather around them. We don't even gather around the name of a church. We gather around the living God, His presence that is here. And in His presence, there's hope. In His presence, there's peace. In His presence, there's wisdom and knowledge and answers. And in His presence is life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be more alive today when I leave this place than when I left. Anybody else agree with me? Yeah, so let me just start out by before we get to the scripture, and I'll actually give you a reference. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, we celebrated an incredible time in our church where we celebrated 40 years as a church. And part of that message at the end of it, I asked everybody that was here to take one of these white pieces of paper and to write something you were thankful for about the church. And on the backside, I ask you to write down what's one thing you're praying for the church. And I just want to tell you thank you as your pastor. This last Tuesday, we had our Tuesday staff meeting. We gathered together in the back room over here. We took all of these, which there was a bunch of them, and we split them up between the different groups, and we read and gave thanks for every single one of these that represents what you believe about this church and what you're praying for this church. And as your pastor, I was so blown away, humbled, and encouraged about what I read, both for the giving thanks and also what you're praying for. Now, there were a lot of themes, you can imagine, with, you know, a couple thousand people writing down. There was lots of different things, but there were some themes that happened. And one of the main themes of Thanksgiving on the front page that we said was people were thankful for how well we love people with this church. Can we just say, man, God continued to do just that, right? We hear time and time again that this is a place where it's not judgmental, or people come in and they feel welcome, they feel known, they feel seen, and not like somebody's looking at them saying, hey, you got to get your act together before you're welcome here. No, we long to be a church where everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And as they're welcome, man, they experience the love of God here in this place. I tell our staff this all the time, and I've said this from the stage before. We want to be a church that loves the next person as much as we loved the first person 40 years ago. And we got to be really intentional about that, because we're no longer a 55 adult person church like started 40 years ago. Like, we're a much larger church. And for us to continue that heart, which I believe is God's heart for us, that we love the next person as much as we love the first 55 people, we've got to be really intentional. And I think when we do that, we're going to see that we're living into Jesus, what he said. He said what? They're going to know you by your big building? No. They're going to know you by, you know, the pastor and all the podcasts he gets? Definitely not that. They're going to know you that you're my disciples by the way you what? Love one another, right? That is the hallmark. That is the, man, the essence of who we are, is a body of people that love first. And then one of the themes on the backside, we ask you to pray, and this got me really excited. And there were lots of things, once again, praying for, but one of the themes that was consistent in the cards that I looked at was this prayer that we would not be a church that's satisfied with just meeting on a Sunday morning, but that we would go from here, go into the world, go into our jobs, into our schools, and we would carry the love of Christ wherever we go. Can we just say, that's a great prayer, right, Amy? Like, that's what I pray for our church. That gets me so excited to be here. Not that this Sunday morning is the end game for our church. You need to know that. Like, we're talking about vision today. This right here, this gathering, is not what we're about. Somebody said it. Like, I love gathering together. Hear me, I love it. I feel it's a complete honor to open up the scriptures with you and to encourage you, to exhort you, to lift your eyes up and get your eyes on Jesus, to be in the presence of God. But that is not the essence of our church, a Sunday gathering. The hope of our church, as we're going to hear today, is that as we gather together, we'd be encouraged, we'd be lifted up, and then we'd be sent out to declare and demonstrate the kingdom of God. This good news of the kingdom everywhere we go. Doesn't that sound like a much better thought than just gathering together and this is it? Amen. Come on, anybody here with me? So today my hope is to unpack, what is the vision of Christ Fellowship? Now, my wife and I and family moved up here about 2.5 or so years ago. And I haven't had the chance yet to unpack for you the vision of Christ Fellowship. What is the heartbeat? What's the DNA? What do we want to be? Now when we say vision is a statement that usually points to something out on the horizon. It says as a church or as a community, this is where we're going. That's what a vision says. And so then we're going to go from this today vision, as I unpack the vision, the next 3 weeks, I want to unpack the strategy, also known as the mission. The mission is, how do we actually execute to get to be where we can actually fulfill the vision of the church? And so I want to encourage you, man, the next 3 weeks, I would love for you to be here. Make it a point to be here and hear what God is doing in our church and how we're going to go towards this vision. Now, the vision of Christ Fellowship, it's in your notes. So if you have your notes, go ahead and grab that out. I would love for you to take some notes today about what God's doing here, where we're headed to. The vision of Christ Fellowship is simply to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be. I'm going to say that again. This is the vision. This is the heartbeat. This is why we as a church, where we're going, is we want to be a church that equips and empowers individuals to be all that God designed them to be. Now today, what I'm hoping to do is I want to break that down so that we all understand that clearly, what I mean when I say that. What we as a board mean when we say this is our role as a board to make sure we're going in the direction of our vision of our church. And so there's three words that I want to look at today. The first word is equip, the second word is engage, and the third word is be. I want to hopefully break this down in the time that we have. So the first word, equip, it's a word that means to prepare, to furnish, to restore, to get ready, to mature. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my time playing football and preparing for Saturday mornings in college. You know, one of the big focuses of the coaching staff and of the whole organization was to equip student athletes to go out and play football on Saturday. And so I was thinking about all the ways that I was equipped. They equipped us with some incredible helmets, really nice, pretty helmets, some pads, some cleats, some gloves. They equipped us with a place to come and a place to go called a locker. They equipped us with a lot of knowledge. Knowledge of football in general. What's the general knowledge that we need to know about football, but also very specific knowledge of our playbook, both offense and defense, the schemes of our enemy, also known as our opponents, right? And so they equipped us in all these different ways. They also equipped us with growing physically, right? That's why we had conditioning. That's why we had 2-a-days, which we all hated, but we knew would pay off when it came to Saturday mornings in the shoe. They equipped us with practice, where we could actually take what we were learning, the knowledge, and actually practice with a very low risk scenario so that we could actually get better. They equipped us with all these. And one of the things that we probably don't think about very often, but I experienced, was they equipped us with a family, with a community. As young men trying to figure out life and all kinds of things happening, man, it was so important that we became a family as a team. And at Ohio State, we call it the brotherhood. It's like once you come in and you're part of the football team, you become a part of the sacred brotherhood of Ohio State. And so forever, you are part of this unique family. And that family is great because, man, there are times when you're gonna sweat together. There's times when you're gonna bleed together. Man, there's times you wanna punch each other in the face, and sometimes you do, and then you get yelled at, you know? And there's times where you win together, and there's times occasionally at Ohio State, at least, you lose together. Very, very, very low frequency of that happened. I'm not gonna say anything about this weekend at all. It's not gonna touch it. I was crying for you guys as well, right? So at Ohio State, though, we didn't make a habit of losing. We actually won a lot of games. And so, but when we lost, which we did lose occasionally, we had to be a family and be with one another. And I know it's an analogy, and I know I love football, and you know football season, I talk a lot about football. I'm sorry, you just help you know, put it up with me. But it really is, I think, a pretty good picture of what we want to be as a church. Like, we want to be a church that helps prepare you for the game that God has called you to be in. We want to be a church that helps you have knowledge of what does God say, who he is, and what does he say about you. How do you have spiritual gifts? How do you walk in those? How do you know the authority you've been given? We want to give you a place where you can come and you can then go. We want to be a place that equips individuals, all of you, to be who God has designed you to be. And this endeavor, this vision, it comes straight from Scripture. I'm going to be in Ephesians. That's an interesting, I don't know if you can find that. You might be looking for that all day long. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Some of you East Tennesseeers say, Derek, just slow down. You'll talk better, right? That was not a shot. All right, chapter 4. This is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. The first few chapters, he has given us a beautiful picture of our identity in Christ, who you and I are in Christ. Like, it's incredible. Like, I love Ephesians. And then he shifts about midway through this letter that he is penning to the church of Ephesus, and he begins to say, this is what the church, the body, the community of believers looks like. And so he gives us a verse here that I think is really important to what we're talking about, being equipped. So he says here, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, once again, if you have a pen and you have a Bible, I want you to mark up your Bible. Like, we don't want to just hear from a talking head up here. We want to engage in the Scriptures, okay? So I would love for you to underline a few things. I want you to underline apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Now, those are five offices or five roles within the context of a local church that God has given to be the leadership and give direction to the local church. And he says, the reason why God has given these type of leaders, all unique, all needed in a local body, is for this reason, to equip. Everybody say, to equip. To equip. So where did our vision come from? Here is the beginning of the origin of why we say we want to equip individuals to be all that God designed them to be. Because he says here, we are to equip the saints, not the team that's playing today. Not the person that cusses once a year. Not the person, you know, that lives in poverty. No, if you're a follower of Jesus right now, Paul is saying that this is you. You're a saint. This is how God views you. Perfected. He sees Jesus' blood over you. He sees perfect how he made you. And he says, this is what the work of the saints is. It is the work of ministry. Everybody say ministry. Now, ministry is not what we make it. You know, Derek has a ministry. He's a pastor. Or, you know, Kim is the adult ministry director. Now, those are specific, but this word ministry is not tied to a vocational position or role at a local church. This word is oftentimes translated in the New Testament as serve or serving. And so what I want us to see here this morning, as that we're talking about equipping for the work of ministry, I want to unpack what is ministry. Ministry is this. It is releasing our gifts and our resources to glorify God and to benefit others. So you say, what is ministry? What is Paul talking about here when he says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry? It is taking your gifts, taking your resources, taking your ability, taking your position, your influence, your experience, taking all that you have, all that you are, offering up to God and say, God, you can have it, be glorified in it. And then I'm doing that in order to benefit the people that are around me in my life. This is ministry. And this is what we long to equip you to be able to do, just like the scripture said, to minister wherever you are, to live out the kingdom of God in whatever context you are living in. We want to equip you to complete the ministry that God has given you. And I love how Jesus models this so well. You see, in his life, when he was walking around the earth for 33 and a half years and 3.5 years publicly, he would equip his disciples. Sometimes he'd be in a room like this or out on a mountain like this, and he would teach all the people that would listen. Guess what Jesus was doing in that moment? He was equipping them. And then there's sometimes when Jesus would gather with just 12, kind of like a small group. He'd gather them together and they'd study and they would pray together and Jesus would unpack what he was teaching, and guess what he was doing there? He was equipping them. And then there's times that Jesus would say, hey guys, come with me. Let's go to this city and I'm going to heal everybody who is sick. Doesn't that sound like an amazing day in that city? Lots of joy in that city when Jesus came. And so Jesus would go and he would heal and they'd be like, oh my goodness, who is this? What was Jesus doing in that moment? He was equipping them. And then there was other times where, man, if I could just have been around when Jesus was walking around, he would invite his disciples to go with him and they would begin to pray. And not only he, but they would actually begin to pray as well. And they would see the sick healed, the lame walk, the demon oppressed set free. What was Jesus doing in that moment? Equipping them, right? This is disciple making. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. This is what discipleship is. It's being equipped for what God has called you, who he has made you to be. And as a church, man, we want to be just that. That's why we put together our Equip ministry, where we can train you up in knowledge and experience and give you a place where you can activate some of the gifts that God has given you. That's why we emphasize small groups here so well, because you need a place where you can wrestle with truths and you can live out your spiritual gifts and you can see what it looks like to actually be in a community that encourages you to be who God has made you to be, right? We want to equip the saints. We want to equip the church to be who God has called us to be. But it's not just equipping the church. Like, I just think about football. Like, what if I have the sweetest jersey on, the best pads, I got the rib protectors, I got some sweet cleats on, all spattered up with tape, and I'm looking fly, at least for a white guy, right? And then I never go out and I play the game. Is that the hope of a college football team? No, and the same, it goes for a church. Like if we are just a church that equips, gets you better, raises your, you know, your understanding, your knowledge, your experience, but we just say it's just for you and me, we have missed the point of the church. You see, the point of football is to be equipped, to be empowered, to go. You know who is not on the field on Saturday morning? The coach. See, the coach's job was to equip, to help give a picture of what it was, to help them grow in strength and power and to know the play to run. And then on Saturday, guess what? He says, go, I empower you. I empower you. You know what that word empower means? It means to encourage, to give confidence to give authority and power. This is what this word means. And we see this on Saturday morning every time. And sometimes the coach is like, man, I wish I wouldn't have gave you that authority. But this is what we're called to be as the church that Jesus is the head of. A church that doesn't just equip you and say, man, we got you so much spiritual force and yet you just keep coming here Sunday and that's all there is to it. No, our hope is not just to be a church that equips, but empowers, encourages, paints a picture for what it looks like for the kingdom to come and your specific influence. This is what the church is about, and we want to be a people that empower you to go. And this is what we see Jesus. He didn't just equip his disciples, he also empowered them. Look over to Matthew chapter 10 if you have your Bible. Flip over to the left a few pages. And in Matthew chapter 10, we see Jesus, he stepped into this empowering time. This is what we see in chapter 10. So he's got his disciples together. Jesus is doing some incredible things. He's teaching and he's healing. He's casting out demons. He just had healed a blind man, two blind men just recently. And then he gathers his 12 disciples together. And look what happened in verse 5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline sent out. Very important. Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. So he's telling them where not to go, which is important sometimes for us to know in our walk with Jesus. Don't go to the Gentiles. I've got somebody else who's going to go there. Don't go to the Samaritans. I've got that covered. Don't go there. Know your role. Know your lane. And this is what he says. He says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So go to Israel. Verse 7, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. See, what was Jesus doing in this moment? He was empowering them to go. What was he doing? He was saying, I trust you. I trust you. I've given you what you need. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Now go out there and play on Saturday morning. That's what Jesus is saying. Go run the play where you were equipped to do. Go. And I love that picture, but that picture was not just meant for the disciples that followed Jesus. At the end of Jesus' life, he's gathered his disciples together. And in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, he says this incredible thing. He says, all power and authority has been given to me. Now he says, now he goes to his disciples and says, now I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've taught you. And he says, behold, I won't leave you. You're not going alone. You know what Jesus was doing there? He was empowering the church to go and be who God designed them to be. And that, I think, is what we long to be as a church. And that is why our vision is what it is. Because I think this is what the church is. It is a community where people are equipped and then sent out, empowered to go to minister in their God-given sphere of influence. And this gets me really excited because in this room, first service, second service, third service, in our small group, place, all of us carry a unique sphere of influence. Every one of us have a unique sphere of influence. Everyone has a different wiring, different things in their heart to see done. And God is speaking to each one of us. And my hope is that we would be a church that equip you where you are at in order that you could be empowered to go wherever God has called you to be whoever God has called you to be. This is what the church is, to equip and to send out. It is a raise and release culture of what we want here. This is what I see in the scriptures, and I think this is what Jesus did as he walked this earth, raising up his disciples and saying, okay, guys, you got it. Go out and win the world. This is who we are. This is where we're going as a church, to equip and to empower each of us. And to me, I hope that gets you excited because there is so much freedom in that, right? I don't know what kind of churches you've been in the past or what kind of religious institute, but here is how most religious institutes work. It is dependent upon them. They want everybody tied back to the system. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? Like they want everybody to have to kind of bow down to the system and you got to go through them with everything. And I just want to tell you, that's not the church we long to be. Like we want to be a place where we train you up, equip you, get you ready, but we say, listen, we trust you. You have a role in seeing the kingdom of God come on the earth as it is in heaven. Now go, go. And there's so much freedom in that. There's freedom to create. There's freedom to change. There's freedom to go and be who God has called you to be. And that's who we want to be. And that last word I want you to write down is the word be. The word be means to exist, the essence of somebody, or in our language here at this church, our identity, our identity. So we believe that you have a unique identity that nobody else has ever had and nobody ever will have. And really, a lot of our church is based on what we see spoken early on in the scripture. If you have your Bible, open up to the first page, the scriptures. And if you've been here very long, you've heard me probably reference this, or you've heard somebody from the stage reference this, because this lays a foundation for how we view one another and how we are and how we be. That's probably not the greatest language, but how you be, right? Verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then look at verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is a bedrock, a foundation for who we are as a church, that we believe that every single person is made in the image of God. That means that person that you want to go on vacation with, another family, you're like, I would love to spend a week on the beach with that family. You're like, that family is made in the image of God. But that person who you can't stand being in the same room with, they are also made in the image of God. The boss that you love, man, you're like, man, I love that boss. He's so great. She's so great. And she, man, I feel so much better at work. And also the boss that you're like, man, really? Yeah, both of them. Made in the image of God. Now here's the reality, is that through our desire to separate from God and his ways, there is a distorted lens that we are showing the world. Like down deep, man, there is gold in here somewhere, but man, sometimes there's such a distortion when I'm believing lies about who I am and who God is that I begin to separate myself from who God made me and what he's called me to do. And when I do that, I distort the view and the image of God that's in me. Anybody else resonate with that? Am I the only one that recognizes that? But that doesn't change the fact that every person is made in the image of God. And you know what that means? That means that God's fingerprint is on every single person that has ever been conceived. And you know what that means for us? That God has value for every single person. And as a church, with Jesus as the head of our church, we want to align our thoughts with what God thinks. We want to align our words with what God says. We want to align our lives with the way that Jesus lived and modeled his life. And to do that, we need to be a people that honor and value every single person. You say, Derek, well, what about if they vote different than me? Yeah. What about if they have different colored skin than me? Yeah. What about if they have different thoughts on lifestyle or different thinking of how social justice should happen? Yeah. What if they're just playing out different than me and I would never want them in my house? Yeah. So here at Christ Fellowship, man, we want to continue to live into this reality. We want to be a place where everybody's welcome. We want to be a place where everybody who comes to this door is loved, experiences the love of God that we are called to give one another. We want to be a church that equips and empowers individuals to be all that God designed them to be, because we believe that every single person has been given a unique identity. That each person is designed by God uniquely to express his image on this earth and to carry out his will on earth as it is in heaven. And we want to help you do that. We want to help you be that. That's our desire as a church. Now you say, Derek, where do we do that? What context do we have? What this vision, like, we want to equip, we want to empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be, but where do we do that? What does that look like? Is that just in our church? And I would say, man, it is in our church, but I believe Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is one of my favorite verses, gives us some clarity on what does this vision look like. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is getting ready to ascend to be with the Father. He's already been raised from the dead, 40 days walking around the earth, revealing himself to many hundreds of people, proclaiming the kingdom of God, this good news that the king has come. And this is what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know what Jesus is laying out here? He's laying out his heart for the church. That we would be a church that has local influence, regional influence, and global influence. See, he said, start in Jerusalem, that little city. Just start right there. And then he says, after that, I'm going to raise out and I'm going to increase your territory to Judea and Samaria, which is a little bit bigger. And then he just blew the disciples' minds. Can you imagine? They hadn't seen a lot of the world like many of us had. And he says, listen, you're going to go even to the ends of the world. And this gets me so excited, because the vision of Christ Fellowship to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be, it starts right here in this room, in this house, in this community called Christ Fellowship. So we are gonna pour into the people that call this place home. We're gonna equip you, we're gonna empower you, we're gonna be with you, we're gonna encourage you to go out and be everything that God has called you to be and to do everything that God has put in your heart. We're gonna do that here. But I also believe for us to be the church that God is calling us to be, we also have to have a regional emphasis. And I believe that God has placed this church where he has, at an intersection of two interstates, easy access, a few miles from an airport. Because I think he's given us and opened up doors for us to have a regional impact. Plus or minus 2 hour drive from here, I believe that God is gonna open up some doors, even in this next year, for us to help equip and empower individuals that don't necessarily call Christ Fellowship their home. And I'm really excited about that. But it's not just regional as well. See, all nations are called to all nations, that we are called to the ends of the earth. And for me, this is where I'm most excited. And this is down the road. And so this is, I'm dreaming, and I'm not even gonna tell you the details because I don't wanna get too far ahead of myself. But I believe as we have continually been, we're gonna continue to partner with people all around the world. Anywhere where we can help equip them and empower them to be what God has designed them to be. And in doing so, we're also gonna learn a lot. And we're not gonna have a savior mentality where we go into a country and say, hey, we got it all figured out. Never, never would Jesus do that. We're gonna be a people that go and we start friendships and partnerships, and then we learn just as much as we give. But I'll tell you what gets me even more excited. This has been in my heart for years, all the way since I was in Kenya in 2012, is that I believe that not only are we gonna be sent to the nations, I believe what God is birthing here is a place where people from all over the world, all over the states, all over the world, are gonna come to this little city called Kingsport. They're gonna spend some time in this church that not a lot of people know about called Christ Fellowship. And in that season, they're gonna be equipped, they're gonna be empowered to be all that God designed them to be, so that we could send them back out into the school systems, into the political arenas, into businesses, into society, where they can proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God in power and love as they are who God designed them to be. And by God's grace, I believe we're gonna see that here at this church in the next coming years. And I'm so excited about it. My prayer for all of us today is that the spirit of unity would draw us together, that he'd bind our hearts together behind this vision, that you would engage with it, that you would jump in when we're offering things. And more than anything else today, my heart is and my ask is that you would pray. Pray for this church. Pray for my wife and I, pray for our staff, pray that we would have the wisdom, humility, and insight and boldness to go where God is calling us to go, so that we can be who God has called our church to be. I'm gonna ask you to stand, I'm gonna pray over us right now, and then we're gonna sing one last song that declares the goodness of God, how good he is vertically, but also declares who we are in Christ, who we are designed to be. And so Lord, right now, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that in your kindness you have drawn this church together, that every person that's part of this church has been brought here by your grace. Holy Spirit, we recognize you as the spirit of truth, as the comforter, but right now I pray just for the spirit of unity, that you would unify our hearts together as a community, that we would grow in awareness of your presence, that we would grow in awareness of your voice, Lord. As you equip us and as you empower us, we would walk boldly as you've called us to be who you've called us to be, but also to do everything you've called us to do, that we would walk in our identity and fulfill our destiny as individuals and as a church. And so, Holy Spirit, would you do what you do and draw us together and get our eyes on Jesus, and he will be our banner all of our days. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us as we go locally, as we go regionally, and as we go around the world, and as the world comes here. Jesus, you be glorified. You be glorified. We love you. Thank you that you're so good. In Jesus' name, we all said,